You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to another edition of the Pucks with Hags podcast, powered by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of the CLNS Media Network. I am your host, Joe Haggerty. You can find my work at joehaggerty.substack.com. Sign up for a premium membership. You get all of my NHL and Bruins writing sent straight directly to your inbox. I also file columns after every game for the Boston Sports Journal. You can check them out at bostonsportsjournal.com. I have with me today Steve Conroy from the Boston Herald, boston.com's Connor Ryan. Boys, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. And let's also thank Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. I can see Connor Ryan nodding because he knows the awesome power of Prize Picks, the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Instead of battling thousands of other players that could be pros or sharks, you simply pick more or less than on 2-6 player stat projections, and you watch the winnings roll right in. March is over, but the biggest moments in college basketball tip off the month of April. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. I'm sure people that had all kinds of bets on Caitlin Clark and her offensive exploits and three-point shooting the other night did pretty well. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right, let's jump right into this 78th episode of the Pucks with Hags podcast. 3-0 win over the Predators on Tuesday night. Steve, your take on this. I saw just excellent defensive game, playoff style game. Both teams battling for the first two periods, you know, no goals. Neither team giving in, both playoff level type teams going at each other. Great goaltending as well. And then finally, the Bruins, I thought even before they scored that goal, I thought for a few shifts before that, started to take over the game in the third period and really started to get good offensive chances. You could almost feel that goal coming. And it was a great sort of encouraging game with the playoffs around the corner, a well-played game by them, especially where you and I think Connor was there too, were at a practice earlier this week or over the weekend where I definitely remember you and I remarking about Jim Montgomery saying they're going to pump 6 on us in the playoffs if you guys play that way, and dropping some F-bombs there and just laying into them a little. And they responded with a good defensive effort against Nashville.
Yeah, it was a great game. You know, it was up and down. The action was up and down, and yet you know, there weren't a lot of great scoring opportunities. Both teams had them. But that, you know, it was back and forth, but it wasn't loose. It was a great game to watch. Usually some of these games when the Bruins pull them out, you can pick holes in what they did and what they didn't do. I thought it was one of their better games of the year. Defensively, you know, they were able to close this game out. You know, just a few weeks ago, if they had taken a 2-0 lead or even a 1-0 lead, you know, it's white knuckle time to the end.
Yeah.
But you know, a great play by Pastrnak after the Charlie Coyle goal. Great play to in the defensive zone, taking it all the way down, then making that play to Heinen makes the play to Zacha, and boom. Pretty much the end of the game, and then Pastrnak ends it with the empty netter. It was an impressive win. You know, we'll see if they can build on Thursday night in Carolina. That's going to be a really tough game. You know, Carolina is starting to play like the team that we all thought they were going to be. So it's another test. I mean, the Bruins have gotten a gift with this schedule down the stretch here. because if they're playing, you know, Carolina, not Chicago and San Jose, there's Ottawa. No way they're getting ready. Yeah, there's no way they're getting ready for the playoffs. But this has got them, you know, they've been given a gift, and they're taking it.
Yeah, this continues to be a very different scenario than last year in so many respects for this team, where they are playing what feels like meaningful games down the stretch, and they are being challenged. And it's not like they're sort of rolling in to the playoffs and just like trying to avoid injuries and sort of setting themselves up, even at this early juncture, to get ready for the postseason, even though they've clinched a spot and they know they're in and all that. It doesn't feel the same. And a lot of that has to do with the teams that they're playing. There's no doubt about it. That was a quality game last night. Ullmark had over 30 saves in the game. Technically, it didn't feel like there were that many scoring chances. He did play well.
Yeah, he didn't have to steal the game.
And that was different from when we saw low scoring games with this team before, where, you know, they might win 3-1, but you know Ullmark had to make a bunch of 5-star saves. It felt like periods he was standing on his head and keeping the team in it when they were giving up odd man rushes and having lags defensively or lapses. I didn't feel any of that last night. There was a couple of moments maybe with Mason Lowry where, you know, he made a mistake or two and he had to take a penalty at one point because McAvoy was way down the ice trying to keep a play alive defensively. But even the play of Lowry within the defensive structure and within them playing a defensive game, it didn't feel like there were any weak links that made mistakes here. It seemed like everybody was sort of locked into playing good defensive hockey, doing the best that they could in that regard, not allowing odd man rushes, not being loose defensively, and just the kind of defensive effort you're going to need in the playoffs to have success, Connor.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you look just back at the last couple of weeks here, how important these games have been for the Bruins, where I think it's what Jeremy Swayman, who always talks about the importance of experience. The Bruins have gotten a whole bunch of that these last couple of weeks in terms of these different matchups. You got like a team like Florida, who not playing very well right now, but when they're on their game, you know, they have a game that really fits well towards the playoffs. You have that game against Washington, a very desperate team where, again, you get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, you don't have to worry about 3-on-3 overtime, anything like that. But dealing with adversity in that game, where you're killing off a penalty for 4 minutes in overtime. You even look at this game against Nashville, where, as you said, like it wasn't really a back and forth open ice out there, but that's kind of what the playoffs is, right? Like the checking gets so much tougher. There's so much less room to operate. It's kind of whoever breaks first and whoever gets maybe more frustrated with the puck or makes those lapses in the Bruins are able to capitalize. And we've talked all year long about kind of what have been the flaws of this team. A lot of it's been, you know, way too loose at the net front defensively, giving up way too many chances. They really have tightened that up over the last couple of games. And then you also look at their issues with, you know, finishing games off. You look at the Bruins in that game, right? They get the go-ahead goal with Charlie Coyle on the shorthanded, and then they take care of business. You haven't really seen it that much from this team. There hasn't been a lot of times where, one, this team has been able to just put teams away, and two, a sequence where, you know, there's an empty net, and they're not kind of frantically trying to kill plays in their own end as time expires. Like, they took care of business against a very good national team that's been on a roll for a couple of months now. I think that's just really encouraging to see.
And I think that could turn out, too, to be an important goal that Charlie Coyle scored last night, that shorthanded goal to win the game. He had one goals in one out of the 14 games during the month of March. It was a two goal game, but otherwise he did not have a goal in any of the other 13 games. He was, I think, a -8 in March. He was a minus player going into last night. I think he still is. He was a +1 last night, so I think he's a -1. But that him dipping into the minus just speaks to how tough, I think, A, the month of March, and B, just basically since the All-Star break, he has not been as strong as he was in the first half of the year, even though 24 goals, career high. He ties his career high in points last night. The season as a whole is going to look very strong at the end, no matter what, and look like probably his best NHL season. But Connor, I feel like last night was a game for Coyle to build on and get back to what he was doing in the first half of the year and the player he was for them, because they're going to need him for so much. He's in like the top five, I think, in the NHL and faceoffs taken this year. He takes all the big faceoffs for the Bruins. He plays all the tough big minutes. He plays in all situations, and they need him to produce like Patrice Bergeron You know, when he was playing in that top center spot with Brad Marchand. And I think last night was sort of a building block game where I think getting that result and just playing well can get him back going in the right direction with the playoffs around the corner.
Yeah, you're going to need Charlie Coyle to kind of be your Swiss Army knife out there. And it's one thing where you look at last year, how many kind of taxing defensive assignments he was dealing with as kind of your third line center. But to now most likely be the kind of shutdown line in the playoffs when you look at the fact that you're not really, I don't think, going to throw out like the Boqvist line as kind of how they've used, you know, Thomas Nosek or, you know, the Corelli line in the past. Coyle is one going to be tasked with driving play down the other end of the ice while also dealing with a lot of really, really tough matchups. So as you said, like he's been essential this year, not only just the baseline production, which I think people are pleasantly surprised with, but if his defensive game is lacking or if he's not, you know, driving play, you know, with guys like Brad Marchand and Jake DeBrusk, this team is, you know, suffering down both ends of the ice. And you just can't have that from a guy who's so important to this team. So I think, as you said, Joe, the way this team is built and how Charlie Coyle is and how important he is to this team overall, it's one thing just to step in and be a top line center and be on pace for, you know, a potential 60 point year, but for what he's done defensively as well, he's been huge for this team in terms of what has been asked of him kind of in this first featured role this season.
Yeah. In a big play, Steve, for Coyle, definitely. And also for Marchand, you know, reading that play, taking off and Ullmark being able to get the puck all the way up there when he just was trying to get it out of the zone. But he makes, you know, something out of nothing by taking the puck and then feeding Coyle. The two of them do. But I for a long time, I didn't feel like Marchand was feeling the pressure of the, you know, the big goal that's coming up next for him, the milestone goal. But like watching him now on some of the power plays that they're on and seeing him try to force plays at times and do things a little out of the norm for him, even though he's had some really good games in here. And, you know, there have been a couple of games where it looked like he was determined. The Florida game, for example, he was determined that the team was going to win and you saw him making plays. But I think seeing the two of them combine on a game-winning goal last night when maybe they haven't been at their strongest since the All-Star break was an encouraging sign with the postseason around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. And they Joe Sacco and the Bruins definitely, you know, hit on something with the penalty kill last night because they were causing Nashville big-time problems standing up at the blue line.
Yep.
And, you know, Charlie McAvoy had a breakaway. But, yeah, I mean, Marchand, I really do think it's starting to weigh on him. Not just the milestone goal, but just the fact that he's not scoring. It's just not coming very easily to him. He's contributing in other ways.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's, you know, he's been around long enough to know that's all that matters, really. But, you know, it would be nice to see him to be more of a threat to score and also to be a little stronger on the puck. He's had a lot of giveaways and, you know, there was a time in his career where he had the puck on a string and he could do anything with the puck. And now he's trying certain moves that just, you know, he's not pulling them off anymore. And he's got to kind of figure out a way, you know, how am I going to get by this guy without giving him a quick, you know, shimmy shake. So he's got to deal with that. And I think, you know, when he gets better, you know, Coyle's numbers will come up too, obviously. And you know, I think Coyle has been fine. They do need him to produce, but you're right. Last night, that play was, you know, something that they can build on.
Prize Picks is America's number one sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Now get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 in just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make a pick and submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum to dish out more than 5 assists and for his teammate Jaylen Brown to have more than 22.5 points. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks.
Linus Ullmark, like, we obviously there weren't a ton of, you know, grade A chances. He did make a couple of good saves, but I thought in general he was just really strong. Positionally, he was where he needed to be. He was calm. He was making good plays with the puck for the most part. Like, he gets an assist on that the game-winning goal because he was able to recognize what was going on, that he just needed to get the puck out of the zone and was able to do it, and something good happened from a good play that he made, a good smart play with the puck that he made. 4-3-1, 1.57 goals against, 947 save percentage now in his last 8 games, 7 starts. He's been excellent since the All-Star break and definitely since the trade deadline. Steve, what do you do at this point with, you know, only a little more than a handful of games left when it comes to the playoffs with the goaltending? Because, like, Ullmark has obviously been excellent. Swayman's numbers have not been as good. But Swayman had wins in both of the Toronto games, played well in those games, played well in the game that they won against Florida, has been put in a lot of big games down the stretch that the team sort of playoff style wins, statement wins that the Bruins wanted to make. He was the guy in the net for a lot of those games, even though the numbers have been mixed. And, you know, at times maybe he's let in a soft goal here or there since the All-Star break that he didn't allow beforehand. You know, what would you do? What do you think the Bruins are going to do, A, and what would you do with the goaltending at this point with the way the guys are going?
Well, I mean, we've got six games to go. It was six games, yes. And I'll let it play out because both goalies are playing very well right now. I think if the postseason started today, I'd go with Ullmark to start. As far as whether you rotate the guys in the playoffs, I'm curious to see it. I have my doubts about it. There are just so many different scenarios where you say you're gonna change the goalie now. You know, what if you know, goalie A loses game one, goalie B comes in, wins game two. You're gonna go back to goalie A for game three. I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. But if the playoffs started today, I would go with Ullmark. I just think he's just a little more on top of his game right now. There are, you know, fewer holes, I would say. He just looks a little bigger in net right now than Swayman. So that's the way I would go.
Yeah, he definitely has been better. There's no question. I mean, the numbers are better. But I do think also I'm sort of reading into how the Bruins have used Swayman down the stretch, the year that he's had as a whole. A lot of it I know is going to factor into the way that they're playing at the very time right before the playoffs start. So right now, but like in one thing, I would also start him for one other reason. And that's that he has not started a playoff series since he's been here. The other guy has always constantly gotten game one start, gotten a few games, and then he gets thrown into these tough positions later on in the series where I'd like to see, especially before you're going to, you know, potentially give him a bigger contract, a lot more money, I'd like to see him start a playoff series, see how he responds to that, and see what he can do in that position versus we've seen Ullmark do that a few times now, and we sort of, I think, have a little bit more of a track record on how Ullmark is going to perform or how he's going to respond to the playoff pressure, to, you know, playing every other day, like all that stuff. I also think that somebody, I forget who it was, mentioned this to me. One way you could do it with the rotation is you play them until they lose, right? So you start Swayman, loses game one, you go to Ullmark in game two. You know, hopefully he wins game two if you're the Bruins, and then you go back and forth, and you basically keep the guy in there until he loses, and then you take him out and put the other guy in. I mean, that's the ultimate motivator. That's the ultimate incentive. It's certainly a fair way to do it, I think, in a lot of respects. Obviously, there are times when a goalie plays great and the team still loses, and, you know, that would be a tough luck situation if that happens. But, Connor, where are you at with the goaltending right now? What do you think the Bruins will do in game one and for the playoffs, and what would you like to see them do?
Yeah, I mean, I think for right now, I'd probably go with Ullmark in game one just because I think he's just been the hotter goalie down the stretch here. And then again, I think when you look at the way they handle these last six games, I'd still go back and forth with both of them, right? I think you want to see if Ullmark can kind of keep this kind of hot stretch he's got going into the playoffs, see if he can keep that up. And also for Jeremy Swayman, like, I think he's obviously had a bit of a rough stretch here, but he's starting to build his game back a little bit more, you've seen as of late. So you give him another three games down the stretch and he gives you one of those, you know, 31 saves on 32 shots, kind of like the game he needs to kind of get back on track. That'd be huge for him because I do think the Bruins hope to use both goalies in the playoffs. Again, that's something easier to mention now in early April than when the playoffs actually begin. But I think if the Bruins are committed to rolling with both those guys, I do think it's probably going to be a situation where it's more field-based, more, you know, guy gets that until he loses. But I kind of look at just how it was last year for like the Florida series where they kind of deviated from the script. And all of a sudden, as you said, you put Swayman in an awful spot in game seven. Like you look at even just that game five and Ullmark obviously lost the game before that, but that game five where Ullmark looked like he started to wear down a little bit, has that really bad miscue. Matthew Tkachuk scores. Swayman in game six, give you a little bit of life, give you a little bit of motivation. If you win that game and you clinch the series, Swayman gets the net for the next series. Allmark's probably a little ticked, gets that competitive fire going. And that's what you're hoping for in terms of this tandem. When you've got two very good goalies, like, listen, we know they're best buds. We know they hug after every game, but like they've also have mentioned it themselves. Like they're also competitive pro athletes. They also feed off of that motivation. So if it's a situation like that, where it's, you get the net until you lose, and you know, doesn't matter if it's a tough break or what have you, if a loss is a loss and the other guy gets the net, then you build off of that, right? I don't think it's going to be something where if the Bruins are really committed to like a goalie rotation, it's, you know, you hear it from some sports radio station, they're just going to go back and forth. Like there's no ordained goalie rules that they're like, well, you know, Ullmark just had a 36 save shutout, you know, in game two, but we have to go with Swayman. It's like, no, if you guys post a shutout, you're going to roll with them again until he loses. I think that's the way you have to look at it. It has to be, you know, I think more feel-based, and I think it all comes down to wins or losses.
Yeah, I agree.
I got another caveat. If it's Toronto, I go with Swayman.
Yeah.
Because he won both of those games and he played well. Yeah. It's been a good matchup for him.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see how he finished off that Washington game may have gotten him back on track. We'll see tomorrow night. I'm assuming he's going tomorrow night. So it's fascinating to see what they're going to do. Like you say, it's probably going to be field based, but it's going to be something that everybody around the league is going to be watching.
Yeah, because it's not the trend and it's not what I think hockey coaches are comfortable doing is sort of going back and forth. And we haven't seen that in a long time. You know, that I can't remember a time when that's happened with the Bruins going back to the Lemelin Moog days. Like that's the last time I remember sort of seeing, you know, them going back and forth with guys in a playoff series based on feel or how they were playing or whatever. And I to your point, Connor, I don't think it's going to be one of those situations where it's going to be like Swayman in game one, Ullmark in game two, Swayman in game three. And like, we have to stay like alternating. Like it's not going to be that. And it shouldn't be, it should be whoever the coach is, goalie, Bob Montgomery, Don Sweeney, Cam Neely, whoever's, you know, got a voice in there, whoever they think is going to give them the best chance to win, whoever they think is the right choice to start in the game. And to your other point, I still will continue to say, Swayman should have started game five in that series last year. Yeah. Like that was the time to put him into that series. If you were looking to close it out, if you were looking to get the other goalie into the series and get him to play, it had been a while since he'd play. Like if you wait a few more days, there's really going to be rust starting to gather up on the goaltender. Like you got to get him in there at some point. That was the right time to do it, especially where you were up in the series. It made a lot of sense. And they didn't, and you know, the rest is history. Brad Marchand will continue to blame himself for not putting away the breakaway at the end of the game. But you know, it'll be interesting to see how they do, how it goes. I think that's one of the things that the whole league, I think you're right, is going to be watching. One down note from last night's feel good 3-0 win, Justin Brazeau looked like he suffered a shoulder injury, took a big hit from Luke Shen in the middle of the ice. kind of an awkward hit. It looked like he was sort of trying to get out of the way or sidestep it. Instead, his shoulder took the full brunt. It looked like he was kind of like had that weird sort of, you know, arm hang thing going on that usually is a telltale sign with the shoulder injuries too when he was coming off the ice. Steve, this is a big injury. Like, he was a guy that had played very well for them, had been a guy that below the goal lines could control pucks, win battles, was finishing off plays at the net, was a power play, productive power play guy in that second unit, like had come on to become what I think could have been a factor in the playoffs based on size, strength, what he brings to the table, could have been a big deal. And if it turns out to be like some kind of serious injury, it could be an important development for them.
Yeah, hopefully it's not. It definitely looked like a shoulder, the way, you know, his arm was extended, and, you know, it was just a bad-looking hit. And when he goes immediately down the tunnel, you know, you say to yourself, oh, he knows something's wrong. So that would be a tough break if he misses playoff time because of it. We don't know yet what's going to happen. But, yeah, even if that fourth line isn't scoring, they were controlling plays. They were keeping the play in the offensive zone. I mean, he was winning pucks even when it looked like it was a 70-30 puck the other way.
Yeah.
It's a tough blow for him, especially personally with what he's been through to get to this point. So hopefully he's not out too long.
Yeah. I mean, size and strength plays in the playoffs, you know, big 6-foot guy that's strong, that can win puck battles, that can overpower opponents, that can be a big body in front of the net, just carving out space. Like, all of those things play in the playoffs. All those things become bigger factors. The Bruins have to hope he's going to be healthy and good to go. And that, you know, there's not going to be like strength deficit issues or something. Him playing through an injury that's going to need a surgery after the year is over or something like that. If he does come back, they have to hope that he ends up bouncing back from this one, because I think they need him at this point, Connor.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's something where I remember when he first got called up, the kind of scouting report was like, yeah, he's a big body, but he's not this super physical guy. But I don't know, like 6'5", 220 is 6'5", 220. So when you're trying to win a puck battle against that guy, you're going to lose more times than not. And as you guys said, like, you'll take the production's been there. I think he's been good when he's been on the second power play unit in terms of just being at the net front. He's shown that he has maybe better hands than we all kind of thought. The big knock against him was speed, but he's kind of kept tempo, at least in terms of what the NHL has been so far. That's what Jim Montgomery mentioned last time about how he's kind of fit in and how he's kind of acclimated to this game. So, no, he's a big loss. And I think, Steve, as you said, like, even when they're not scoring, like, a lot of times they're still extending play in the offensive zone. And a lot of it has to do with Brezzo winning puck battles. There's been also many times where, like, his reach of being able to, like, all of a sudden grab a puck that kind of just sliding across the ice, getting it back, feeding it back out to the blue line, doing just all those little things that may not end in a goal, but usually ends with a lot of time spent down the other end of the ice. So he's been a really important key cog to that fourth line. So if he does miss time, it's going to be a big loss for the Bruins, because as you said, Joe, like, he's the kind of guy that seems like he'd be destined for a big goal or a big game or a big moment in one of these playoff games when there's not a whole lot of ice out there.
And he played well enough that, like, he was getting some looks on other lines, and he deserved them. And he certainly has shown that he can play up with better, you know, more skilled players too, with the way he thinks offensively, with the skills that he has. Like, he can play up in a higher role potentially as well. And that leads me to sort of wondering where this is going as far as the forward depth and the defenseman depth, and who's in and who's out come playoff time. And obviously there's still a handful of games left. And, you know, Montgomery the other day, when he talked to us, had said there's still a lot up for grabs and things that he's evaluating and looking at. Steve, how do you see this playing out forward and defenseman wise, and throwing the Brazil injury into the, you know, mix as well? Who do you think is on the outside looking in at this point? Because before last night, I thought James Van Riemsdyk was definitely on the outside and could be a guy that ends up not, you know, in the lineup to start the playoffs, just based on, you know, the way things are going, certainly with Brazeau in there, with Maroon coming back too, like all the different factors at play. And the way they'd been using him lately, and the fact that he hadn't been, frankly, that effective. Like, there was a little more battle, I thought, in him a few times last night, and I noticed him a little bit more last night than I had previously, but I still look at him potentially as a guy that might be on the outside looking in if everybody's healthy and everything is, you know, as it is going into the postseason.
Yeah, he was a little better last night. The Brazil thing throws it into a tailspin here as to, you know, who's going to be in and out. You know, if Brazil is back in, and, you know, we'll go with that. I would stick with Brazil, obviously, there. And I would probably take JVR out. I want to take a look at Maroon on that third line.
Yep.
I wish they could, you know, see him a little earlier than that Pittsburgh game. But I guess that's the best case scenario they're going with now anyway. So I'd like to see him there on that third line with Geeky and Frederick. And, you know, I want to keep Beecher in there.
Yep.
On you know, playing the, you know, left wing slash center with Boqvist and Brazil. On the back end, it's still kind of up in the air. That third pair with Peak and Shattenkirk, which, you know, if you told me 2 weeks ago that's your third pair, I'd say you're crazy. But it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good.
I think Andrew Peak's been very good. Like, he's been solid. He's
been excellent.
Yep.
He's been excellent for what he's been asked to do.
Yep.
Whether it's Wotherspoon or Grizzlick, Carlo. You know, that's a tough call. I think Grizzlick can bring something. He's had, you know, an up and down year, had some injuries. I'm not playing Lowry to start the series, to start the first series. He's just not there yet, I don't think. He moves the puck, you know, a little too fast sometimes. Doesn't always get in there first when he can get in there first. So I think he's still got a long way to go. As far as, you know, learning the game, you know, if somebody's injured, I'm okay with him going in.
Yeah,
I think he's shown that. But I don't think he's ready to be a game one, you know, in the lineup. So it looks like, you know, but for now, it looks like they may be going with McAvoy and Lindholm on that top pairing. And then you get Carlo.
I like the way the two of them have played together. You know, two solid games, two wins. Why not do it?
Yeah, and then you got Carlo, and I don't go with Lowry. Do you go with Wotherspoon, or do you go with Grizzlick? I think that's what it's up to right now.
We do have Factor Meals to help us out. America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. When it does get busy, when it does get crazy, when we do need a quick meal, they fuel you up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. Takes less than 2 minutes to cook them. They're fresh, never frozen. Meals ready in 2 minutes, like I said. They have calorie-conscious options going upscale with some of the things they're offering now, like surf and turf, surf and surf meal options, roasted garlic filet mignon, and shrimp and Cajun spiced shrimp and salmon, which is like right in my wheelhouse. This is the kind of stuff I'm all about. So it's got everything for everybody. There's 34 plus chef prepared, dietitian approved weekly options for meals. You can get snacks, you can get breakfast items. Like it's a great deal. So if you want to get Factor Meals, go to factormeals.com/hags50 and use the code HAGS50 to get 50% off of your first box. It's a great deal. You know, I've tried it. It's fantastic. I recommend it to you. We love these ready to make meal kits, especially when we're on the go with our kids. So one more time, that's factormeals.com/hags50 to get 50% off your first box. You won't be sorry if you go to Factor Meals. It gets the Hags thumbs up seal of approval.
Connor, what do you project as far as who's in, who's out, forwards, D at this point, knowing that, you know, things may change a little bit with a couple weeks still to go?
Yeah, I still think JVR is kind of the big piece up front in terms of whether he can just get his game back. And it's kind of similar to, was it, I think 2 years ago when Frederick was dealing with an illness, and it felt like he took forever to kind of get back up into his swing of things. And I think JVR has lost a bunch of weight. You got that on top of the fact that you're trying to get your legs back. He's not. the most fleet of foot guy, you know, even at this stage of his career. So for right now, you know, it's been tough circumstances, but the production is what it is, and it really hasn't been there for him over the last month plus right now. So I do think you have to get Maroon in that lineup and see where he best fits. But if you know, if Brazo's out, that impacts things in terms of JVR and where he fits in. But if Brazo's good to go, I think you want to see what a guy like Maroon can do with kind of a puck possession, heavier line with Geeky and Frederick. You know, as much as Maroon, I think, is characterized as just a, you know, bruising guy, a guy that's out there to land welts, still can make some plays, you know, had 16 points in 48 games with Minnesota. So he can still give you something there, especially if he's on that line with Frederick and Geeky. That's very straight line, simplified puck possession kind of hockey. So
yep.
I think JVR and whether he can find his game is the biggest key beyond Brazo's injury. And then yeah, for defense, I think it comes down to probably just how Montgomery wants to structure those that decor, right? Because if you asked me a few days ago, I'd probably be like, Shattenkirk's the odd man out. You go with Grizz like McAvoy, Lindholm, Carlo, and then Weatherspoon Peak is kind of your meat and potatoes, unflashy third pair that, you know, I think probably can hold up pretty well in the playoffs. But we've seen with Lindholm and McAvoy, the return's been really solid so far. You run the risk of maybe that being just your top heavy kind of decor, but I don't know, like Sharon Seidenberg looked pretty good when you overloaded that kind of group as well. So
if they're playing 30 minutes a night or close to it, that's fine. You know, like yeah, play 28, 27 minutes a night, cut the game in half, have your best pairing out there almost half of the game or close to it. And, you know, take your chances with the other pairings for, you know, the other half of the game and play who's playing best. And I'm all for that. I think that's something that they haven't done enough with those two. I think it helps Lindholm tremendously, to be honest with you. I don't think it's a coincidence that Lindholm has looked better in the last few games playing with McAvoy. I think it helps the both of them to play together, to be honest with you, and it gets the most out of them. Even if it was interesting, though, when I asked Monty about that the other day, and he talked about his biggest con was whether two alpha males can handle being on the same pairing together with the two of them. I thought it was interesting that he went there, and that's what his biggest worry was, rather than worrying about, like, getting, you know, as much as he can out of the other pairings and them not being on the ice for the other parts of the game. But just in general, I agree. I think if you put Lindholm and McAvoy together up top, you know, there are different combinations you're looking at now. The big question, I guess, Connor, is if Grizzlick will be in there. And if, you know, and if he stays in there, and there's also a history of injuries with him because he's not the biggest guy in the world and he gets targeted once the playoffs start. So it'll be interesting to watch that.
Yeah, no, I think it all comes down to, yeah, where Grizzly best fits in. Cause if he had a good rapport with a guy like Carlo, then you could say, all right, you slot him in there. He's maybe again, we know the discourse, we know the worry with Grizzly of how he's going to handle himself in the playoffs. We've gone through this multiple years now, but like, is Shattenkirk a better option there when he kind of maybe has those same flaws as being kind of a playmaking defenseman who's not really attuned or able to withstand kind of the floor check that's out there? So
yeah,
I think Grizzly probably gives you the safer option. It just depends on where he best fits, because we know he fits pretty well with McAvoy. We know they read off each other really well, but if McAvoy and Lindholm are playing at a high level and it's, you're trying to you know, fit a square peg into a round hole with where Grizzly best fits, then you got a problem.
All right.
I think Grizzly has been miscast. I mean, I know he has good chemistry with McAvoy, but you get to the playoffs and you're seeing, you know, those first lines. It's just
they can exploit him
to hold up.
They can exploit him defensively. You know, they,
yeah,
not only like go after him and try to take him out with heavy hits, but they know how to exploit him defensively in the playoffs, you know, when he gets around.
His best time as a Bruin, I think, was when he's been on a third pair with a physical guy like a Kevin Miller type of guy. You know, maybe that could be Andrew Peak. You know, we haven't really seen that yet.
That's true.
So you know, it'll be interesting to see how and if he fits in.
Yeah, and we all know defensemen start dropping like flies, unfortunately, in the playoffs with injuries and attrition and everything else. So I'm sure we'll see all kinds of combinations. And to your point, Steve, I'm sure we'll see Mason Lowry at some point too.
Yeah,
because I'm with you. I don't think you start with him, but I think at some point you do. A, want to be able to go to him if there's injuries, and B, like, get him some playoff experience too, as part of his whole, you know, sort of development program for this year, to get him, you know, maybe up and running to being a, you know, a full service guy next year that they can use all the time. Tweet of the week from BA Morrow 31. Never thought I would say this, but I think Danton Heinen is a must re-sign for the Boston Bruins. I think so. Like, obviously he's great value this year. 775K, had to sing for his supper with a tryout agreement in training camp. Finally got the contract towards the end of October. Has been excellent. 15 goals, 32 points, had two assists last night. Makes a great pass to Pavel Zacha on that second goal after Pasternak did a really good job of getting it up the ice and carrying it up the wing. And has shown that he's probably going to be in a top six role to start the playoffs. You know, like, he's played with Zacha and Pasternak and been very, very good. I think he's a guy that you're comfortable with, that you can still look at as somebody that you produced, drafted, developed, all that stuff, Steve. And you want him back in the fold next year, as long as it's good value.
Yeah, and I like the confidence he showed, especially last night. Early in the game, he had what looked like a 2-on-1 with Pasternak, and you know, there wasn't a great passing lane, but maybe early in the season he forces that pass. He took the shot, you know, and he didn't score on it. But I thought that spoke to the confidence that he's feeling right now in his ability to play with those players.
He's way more assertive just in general this year, with the puck, with carrying it up the ice, with making plays, much less deferential than he was when he was here before, when, you know, you'd put him out there with Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand or situations like that, and you could see he was very deferential. He was trying to stay out of their way, give them the puck. Like, much more noticeable as a player just offensively and carrying the puck now, and much more of a complete player, I think, that's added a lot to this team, Connor, this year.
Yeah, it's funny. You look back at the offseason when you're in, like, the middle of July, and there's a lot more doom and gloom with this fan base when Bergeron and Krejci retiring. You're trading Taylor Hall, you're losing Bertuzzi. If you told Bruins fans at that time that, all right, you're top stick, we're bringing back Danton Heinen next to Pavel Zacha and David Pasternak, people probably be losing their minds. But no, he's been great. And he's been, you know, we kind of know what kind of player he is in terms of a steady, you generally unflashy, solid two-way guy. But as you said, he's been a lot more, I think, determined with the puck, a lot more assertive, and it helps when you're playing with a guy like David Pasternak. But he's been driving play by himself. I mean, he said, like, some of these last two games, he's been really aggressive, making the sound smart plays, feeding into guys like Zacha, who's playing really well as of late, David Pasternak, who we always know is going to be productive in the offensive zone. So if the value is there, yeah, he's the guy that, you know, whether it's a top six role moving forward, I mean, the Bruins have outscored teams 12-4 with that line out so far, and it's been a pretty solid sample size. But even if he ends up being pushed further down the lineup to a third line guy, a fourth line guy down the road, like, he's a guy you really don't have to worry about. You can kind of plug him in wherever, you know, he's not going to, I think, actively hamper whatever line he's on.
Yeah, versatility definitely part of the value package with Danton Heinen being able to do a lot of different things. Thank you very much, Steve and Connor. Let's also thank Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America and the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Instead of battling thousands of other players that could be pros or sharks, you simply pick more or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll right in. For example, David Pasternak, you pick shots on net, goals, any number of categories, assists, he's got a career high in those this year. Charlie McAvoy, you can pick block shots, more or less, all kinds of different categories. It's fun and pretty simple. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Steve, Connor, thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
See you, Connor.
We'll see you at the rink.